All right. Hey, Fritz Berger, bloodandfaith.com. It's my grandson's birthday. So early June, 2022. And we're going to talk about the imprecatory psalms. What's an imprecation? An imprecation is a curse. In fact, I got a little definition for that for you. Imprecate. A curse is any expressed wish that some form of adversity or misfortune would befall or attach to one or more persons, a place, or an object. In particular, curse may refer to such a wish or pronouncements made effective by the supernatural or spiritual power, such as a god or gods, a spirit, or a natural force, or else as a kind of spell by magic or witchcraft. In the latter sense, a curse can be called a hex or a jinx. Imprecate, to call down by prayer as something hurtful or calamitous. And unfortunately, there's Christians out there who suggest that we should never curse or ask for calamity to fall on others. And in a sense, they're right. The Bible says to pray for those who persecute you and bless those who do you harm and turn the other cheek. This is true. But I'm also going to tell you something else that's true. If I can't find my glasses and get to that. Here's a true statement. Psalms 139. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Uh-oh. Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with an utmost hatred. They have become mine enemies. This is Jesus Christ. This psalm, Psalm 139, is quoting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is saying about that, about his enemies and to his enemies. Is it David? Yes, it's David. It's also Jesus Christ. It's worth reading again. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. This is an imprecatory psalm. You can pray the imprecatory psalms. You should be praying the imprecatory psalms. This is the Word of God. This is the Holy Bible. If you ever don't know what to do, what to pray, open up the Bible and start reading it and praying the Holy Scriptures. Oh, that thou would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against you wickedly. This is both David speaking and it's Jesus Christ speaking. They speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Who do you think he's talking about? He was talking about the Pharisees. They take your name in vain. All right, the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You have people up there claiming to be Christian or claiming to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they take the name of the Lord God in vain. And Jesus Christ said, I hate them. Oh, Christians shouldn't hate. Christians shouldn't hate. Jesus Christ did. Come on, people. Go read what he had to say in the Gospels. Have you never read what Jesus Christ said in the Gospels? You see to the serpent, you brood of vipers. How shall you escape the sentence of hell? Oh, that wasn't very Christian. That wasn't very Christian. Here's Jesus Christ again. Oh, that thou would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. This is the eternal word of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He didn't change. God did not change when Jesus Christ was incarnated. That's a tradition of man. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. God has never changed. He's the same God. Who do you think showed up in front of Joshua? They said, Joshua, do not fear. Every place where the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. Only obey me and listen to everything that I've told you. That was Jesus Christ. He's the captain of the Lord's host. What are the hosts? It's the armies of God. Who do you think's going to ride out of heaven on a white horse? Who do you think's going to follow him? A little sheep going bab, bab, bab? No, it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's a mighty king with armies following him, and they're going to round up and they're going to slay the wicked. Oh, that's not a very, you're not being very diverse or inclusive. Hey, you need to abandon your traditions of men. They've infected the church. Jesus Christ warned. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. What's the leaven of the Pharisees? It's their doctors. What were their doctors? It's the traditions of men that they exalted over the word of God. Jesus said to him, hey, you know, y'all say you believe in Moses, but if you had believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. Here's Jesus Christ praying this prayer. Oh, that thou would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. There's a lot of enemies to Jesus Christ that take his name in vain, claiming to be whom they are not. They are false prophets. I've mentioned, you know, Baptist preachers and preachers going around trying to make, you know, the Pope Francis, for that matter. Oh, we're all one with the Muslims and the Jews. Judaism is Antichrist. It's been Antichrist since before Christ. This is basic theology. It's basic read the book of John stuff. Jesus, John the Baptist shows up. He said, you brood of vipers. You brood of vipers. Who does that refer to? Who's he talking to? Go read the book of John. Or go read the book of Luke. Go read the book of Matthew. You brood of vipers. Where was that referred to? Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent. The seed of the serpent is the brood of vipers. All right, Jesus Christ is a Christian. This word is eternal. Jesus Christ is known as the Word of God, according to the book of Revelation. His name is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Verse 21, chapter 139 of the book of Psalms. Do I not hate those who hate you, O God? This is Jesus Christ speaking. Do I not hate those who hate you, O God? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. This is Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. Enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Enmity is a hatred even unto death. It's beyond hatred. It's a hatred unto death. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And the church, they have allowed these traditions of men to come in and subvert the faith in the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, which is Jesus Christ. They worship Jesus Christ. When Abraham went out and met the Lord, it was Jesus Christ that showed up, pre-incarnation. Jesus Christ is eternal. He was with the Father in the beginning. He was the creator. He created everything. And the church has allowed the doctors of men, the traditions of men, the traditions of the elders, the leaven of the Pharisees to come in and reduce Jesus Christ to meaninglessness and pablum. Oh, Jesus loves everybody. Okay, let me repeat. Oh, that thou would slay the wicked, O God. This is Jesus Christ speaking. Yes, David prophesied this. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I'm telling you. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. The Pharisees took the name of God in vain. They took the name of God in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? Who do you think rose up against Jesus Christ and murdered Jesus Christ? And it's beyond me. Why do these Christians worship an antichrist religion? Why do they go down the road of the traditions of the Pharisees and proclaim a people that has sworn an oath against Jesus Christ as God's chosen people? Why? Because the traditions of the elders and the leaven of the Pharisees. Do I not hate those who rise up against you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with an utmost hatred. They have become mine enemies. All right, Genesis 3:15. God Almighty said this. God Almighty says this. He says, I will put enmity, a hatred unto death, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. All right, who's the seed of the serpent? What does John the Baptist say? Oh, you brood of vipers. Who does he say it to? Go read it. Go read it. Matthew. It's in all the Gospels. What is Jesus Christ? I think, was it Matthew chapter 12? You brood of vipers, how shall you escape the sentence of hell? You brood of vipers. You see the serpent. All right, you want more? There's lots more. I've written on this. It's all throughout the Hebrew and the Greek scriptures. And that's not even what I was going to talk about today. Let's go to Psalm 94. Ooh, how about Psalm 94? Let's go to Psalm 94. I think that's a good one. This is an imprecatory psalm. It's calling down the curse of God upon the enemies of God. Church needs to get back to that. Oh, that's not very Christian. Actually, it is very Christian. It's just that your traditions of men have overruled you. Your traditions of men have said that you're supposed to be a sop, a doormat for the Antichrist. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. We are not to be the doormats for the Antichrist. We're to open up our mouth and speak boldly. And if the Holy Scriptures is calling down curses upon the wicked, Christians, why won't you? Why do you allow yourself to be defined and controlled by the Antichrist? Oh, I know, you're looking for the Antichrist. You're looking under every bush, behind every door, around every tree. Oh, here he is. There he goes. Antichrist has been around since the beginning. First John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 4. Even now, there are many Christs. Who's the Antichrist? It's the one who rejects the Son. The Antichrist is the one who rejects the Son. Stop looking for him. Stop looking. Oh, his name is 666. 666 is corporate man. I mean, you know, if you want to go find a dude, that's fine. Go find a dude. And I'd suggest you start with Nimrod, a mighty hunter who stood before God in opposition to God. The original Antichrist was Nimrod, building a unified world, a government in rebellion against Almighty God. That's the biblical model for the Antichrist. Now, could it be that someday some dude shows up and he's the Antichrist? Well, yeah. All Satan can do is imitate what God does. Jesus Christ certainly showed up. He showed up in the flesh. But I'm telling you, instead of looking for something that's coming, look for what's already here. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that some dude's not going to show up and be the 666. I'm saying that spirit's here. It's been around for 2,000 years, and we're not willing to fight against it now. If we're not willing to fight against it now, why do we think we're gonna all of a sudden, oh, there he is. There's the dude. Now we can get brave. Now we can be brave because we can see him. Why don't you start now? Why don't you read these psalms out loud? Psalm 94. I can hear these Christians now. Oh, that's not very Christian of you. That's not very Christian of you. You're supposed to turn the cheek. All right, fine. Jesus Christ turned the cheek. They ripped his beard out. All I'm telling you is you need to open up your mouth and speak. That's what I'm telling you. And the problem of the church is they've allowed the Antichrist to define what a Christian is instead of the Holy Scriptures. Here's what a Christian says. Here's what a Christian says. Here's what the eternal Word of God says. Why can't we say the Word of God out loud? O Lord, God of vengeance, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour forth words. They speak arrogantly. If there was ever a prayer for today, this is it. They speak forth words arrogantly. Go look at the mighty beast in the book of Revelation. Go look at the beast of Daniel chapter 7. They speak arrogant words. Well, I don't know where the beast is. I can't see the beast. Beast is here, baby. As far as I'm concerned, the beast is here. Does not Jesus Christ say, I'm going to come like a thief in the night and you won't even know it? And here we are looking. Where is the Antichrist? Where is the beast? Beast's already here, man. Antichrist's already here. Been here for 2,000 years. Oh, we just need to hang out a little while and then we're going to see the beast. We're going to see the Antichrist and we're going to go fly away. In the meantime, we've surrendered. We've surrendered. Church has surrendered. Evangelical church has surrendered. Well, we don't want to offend the Antichrist. It's homosexual month, according to the Antichrist. You hear the church talking about that? Oh, no. You know, and then there was that church, I don't know, a couple decades ago. They used to go out and declare that homosexuality is evil. And oh, by God, everybody thought that was just a horrible thing. They will stand before the judgment day, and God will say, you may have issues, but y'all ain't cowards. Hate to say this, but 90% of us, myself included, we're going to show up and God's going to say, you little coward. You little coward. You're a coward. You know what a coward is? Coward is somebody who is cowed. What is somebody who's a coward? They're cowed into submission. They're cowed into deference. They're cowed into silence. They're ashamed to speak the word of God. Oh, I'm not afraid of Jesus. I'm not. Really? Okay. Psalm chapter 94. O God of vengeance, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked exult, O Lord? How long shall the wicked exult? They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O God, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. The abortion is the murder of orphans. They've been abandoned by their father and by their mother. Abortion is the murder of orphans. Right here, Psalms chapter 94, verse 6. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. That's abortion. The aborted kids were abandoned by their mother and their father. There are also live human sacrifices offered up to Satan. And you say, well, you know, the Antichrist is coming. No, Antichrist is here. And they have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. Oh, let me tell you something. The Lord God sees, and Jesus Christ takes heed. He's given us some scriptures to pray over them and against them. The imprecatory Psalms. We're praying down the curse of God upon them. Church needs to start praying down the curse of God upon the evildoers. Oh, but God loves the sinner. No, people, no. Don't exalt your traditions over the word of God. Stop exalting your man-made traditions, the traditions of the elders, the precepts of the elders, over the word of God. This is what Jesus Christ went head-to-head with the Jews with. Head-to-head with them. Matthew chapter 15, 1 through 9. Jesus, how come your disciples don't wash their hands according to the traditions of the elders? Jesus says, why do you exalt your traditions over the word of God? You say anything that would have been given to God, it's better off you'd give it to us so we can get rich. But the Holy Scripture says you honor your father and mother. Okay, he goes head to head with them, head to head with these traditions of men that overrule the word of God. But we don't recognize it. And we've exalted our own man-made traditions, precepts of the elders, over the word of God. You know, that, this is one of them. God loves the sinner and he hates the sin. They'll quote that more than they will Psalm 94. They'll quote that 100 times in their lifetime, but they'll never read Psalm 94 out loud. And that he loves the sinner and hates the sin. That's a man-made tradition. Now, I know. You can say, oh, but God so loved the world. Yeah. And in the same scripture, it says, perish. It says, perish. Y'all going to hell. Oh, no, we can't say that because God loves it. No. The default position is of everyone born alive is they're born with a sinful nature and they will spend eternity away from God unless they repent and put their faith in literally the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Messiah. That's the gospel. There is salvation, but because there's salvation, there's damnation. There's no salvation without damnation. Saved from what? Saved from what? What are you being saved from? You got an ouchie? You got a bad feeling? Go see a counselor. Go see a psychotherapist. The salvation is from damnation in hell. I don't know if the church believes in that anymore. Does the church believe that anymore? Oh, God loves everybody. He knows their heart. You know, and he forgives. Everybody born on this world, born of a man, conceived of by a man and a woman. Jesus Christ was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. This doesn't apply to him. The Father of Jesus Christ was God Almighty directly. God did not transfer a sin nature to Jesus Christ. Every man does. If you have a biological father, if your mother was impregnated by a male, you were born into sin. You're born into sin. You're in the kingdom of darkness. If you want salvation, what are you going to have salvation from? What's your salvation from? It's from damnation, eternity apart from God. You're born into sin. The good news is the Son of God, conceived without sin, becomes the blood sacrifice for your sin. And Jesus Christ is not, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, stop thinking about Jesus Christ as a religious figure. He's literally the Son of God. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. All right, let's keep going. O Lord, God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth, render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? Do not we ask ourselves this day, how long are the wicked going to exult? They laugh at us. They laugh at the people of God. They laugh at the children of God. They laugh at the church. The church is a joke. The church flies the flag of Satan out front of it. The church flies the flag of Satan out front of their churches, at least in many places. D.C. The homosexual flag's out there. Got that rainbow flag. And that mocks God, too. The rainbow was a symbol of salvation after the flood. Satan takes that and he twists it. The rainbow was a symbol of redemption and salvation after the flood. God said, it's going to be a reminder to me never to destroy the world again through a flood. Through a flood. And Satan said, I'm going to take that little symbol that you got, and I'm going to invert it and make it a symbol of perversion. They pour forth words and they speak arrogantly. Okay, go back. Go back and read Daniel chapter 7 about the arrogant beast. The beast that was arrogant because it spoke words against the Most High. Go read about the beast starting in Revelation 13 through Revelation 19, 20. The arrogance, the utter arrogance. Okay, that's the sign of our age, the utter arrogance against God, mocking the Almighty God, mocking the Word of God, mocking Jesus Christ, mocking the people of God. Oh, you silly little Christians. Of course, a lot of it we brought upon ourselves because we bent the knee in order to not incur the wrath of the seed of the serpent. We don't even believe in Genesis 3:15 anyway. We don't even believe that there's supposed to be enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. Oh no, we're all one in God. We've given up the commandment, given up the word of God for our traditions. James 4:4, friendship with the world is enmity towards God. Same word, enmity, hatred. But we long for friendship with the world. We long to be tolerated by the world. We long to be in a position where the world says, oh, you're a good Christian. You're a good little Christian because you just love and accept everybody. And that's become evangelical Christianity to a great extent. You know, I drive by the churches right out here, wherever I am. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome. All are welcome. Got a little rainbow flag out there. Little homosexual flag. I can think of few things that are more of an offense to the Creator than homosexuality. Very few things. Maybe transsexualism and abortion. Transsexualism, transgenderism, abortion, and homosexuality are the greatest inversions of God's goodness and truth. And when you celebrate those things, you're a Satan worshiper. You're a Satan worshiper. And you take the name of the Lord in vain. They pour forth words, they speak arrogantly. All who do wickedness vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger and murder the orphans. They have said, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob pay heed. Here we go. Let's go on. I have evangelical friends who will say, you're not a good Christian, Fritz. Well, that's already true. A lot of them think that. But let's go on. Pay a heed, you senseless among the people. And when will you understand stupid ones? Oh, you can't call them stupid. A good Christian would never call anybody stupid. Okay. Psalms chapter 94, verse 8. Pay heed, you senseless among the people. When will you understand stupid ones? This is the New American Standard Version. I'm sure King James isn't any more complimentary. He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who chastens the nations, does he not rebuke? He, even he who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, so that they are a mere breath. Blessed is the man whom you chasten, O Lord, whom you teach out of your law, whom you teach out of your law. Oh, the law is done away with. No, it hasn't. Law is not done away with. The law is not done away with. Why do you say the law is done away with? The first sermon of Jesus Christ, he goes up there and he says, do not say, I've come to do away with the law of the prophets. First thing he says, Matthew chapter 5. And he goes on, he throughout his ministry, he repeats the 10th commandment. He talks about it. He says them out loud. Don't commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. Do not steal. Don't commit murder. Rich young ruler says, Lord, I've done these all since my youth. What do I still lack? He knew he still lacked. And he said, well, sell everything you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. Oh, I can't do that. Yeah, well, there you go. That's your choice. For a judgment will again be righteous. For the Lord will not abandon his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Who? Okay, here we go. Psalm chapter 94, verse 16. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Who will take a stand for me against those who do wickedness? Okay, in the homosexual month of June, according to many government agencies, they're promoting a great offense. Holy Scriptures say, who will stand up for me against the evildoers? Who will take his stand for me against those who do wickedness? Lord's looking for his church. Who's going to stand up? Who's going to stand up and say, it's wrong, it's evil? It's equal in evil to transgenderism, transsexualism, and abortion. It's the worship of death. Homosexuality is the worship of death. Oh, but he was born that way. I don't care. The little kid in Uvalde may have been born that way, and he's out there slaughtering people. It's evil. It's wrong. Sorry. Christian, here's your message. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? Lord says this. Who will stand up for me against evildoers? The church is like, oh, I don't want to offend the Antichrist. Yeah, okay. Who will take stand against me against those who do wickedness? All right. I'm going to move down a little bit. Can a throne of destruction be allied with you, one who devises mischief by decree? They band themselves together against the life of the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. All right, certainly that speaks of those who murdered Jesus Christ and the early Christians. Who led the charge on murdering the early Christians? Saul. Who was Saul? He was a Pharisee. The Lord has been my stronghold and the rod, the rock of my refuge. He has brought back their wickedness upon them and will destroy them in their evil. The Lord our God will destroy them. How many people say that? The Lord our God will destroy them. The Lord our God will destroy the wicked people. Those who deny that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, are part of the Antichrist. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. I wasn't even going to talk about this today. I was going to talk about something completely different. But you know, that's the way it goes, right? A church needs to understand that it is the purpose of the Antichrist to destroy the church. They need to understand that the Antichrist has been around for 2,000 years. 1 John 4, 1 John 2. Talked a lot about that yesterday in the podcast or a couple days ago in the podcast. The church has to understand that it's a sin to be cowed before the Antichrist. And they keep inventing new words and new accusations that are only used against the righteous. Oh, he's sexist. He's homophobic. He's transphobic. He's queerphobic. All of these are man-made sins. And the church runs to try to prove that they're not committing the devil's sins. Oh, we're inclusive and we're tolerant. No, you're not. You're not tolerant of the Word of God. When's the last time you heard a preacher up in the pulpit pray an imprecatory psalm against government leaders? Oh, Romans 13, we need to submit and obey our government leaders. How about praying an imprecatory psalm? Psalm chapter 139, Psalm chapter 94. Pray that against the President of the United States, against Supreme Court judges that support homosexuality and abortion. Those are evil activities. Pray the Holy Scripture over them. Pray Psalm 94 of them. Pray Psalm 139 over them. Pray down the curse of God. You can't go wrong by reading out and praying the Holy Scriptures. Oh, but we're supposed to bless those who curse us. Yeah, and you're also supposed to curse those that are worshiping Satan by live human sacrifice of baby children. And I mean, even the Talmud, that great body of the traditions of men, they can take a little scripture here and a little scripture there and twist it. You know who does that? You ever heard of the temptation of Jesus Christ? My heart breaks, man. My heart breaks. Yeah, the temptation of Jesus Christ, and Satan himself is coming out there quoting scripture to Jesus Christ to get him to bow his knee to the devil, to get him to do something he shouldn't have done. Oh, there's scriptures out there for everything. Jesus. The Holy Scripture says he won't allow you to stumble. His angels will you know, lift you up. So throw yourself off this little, you know, tower. So yeah, you can take scriptures and you can say, well, it's our job is to submit to every government authority. I mean, Satan does that to Jesus Christ. Where do you think the Talmud comes in? Sure, they can come up with a scripture here or there to support their traditions of men, the precepts of the elders. And the church makes it, they've erected these traditions of men, the leaven of the Pharisees. They got a little scripture here, a lot of scripture there to justify their traditions of men. Just like the Talmud does with the Torah. Just like the Talmud does with the law, he just twists it. France, Pope Francis has done the same thing. Evangelical Church does the same thing. Oh, love the sinner, hate the sin. Really? How about going through some of these Psalms that I just talked about? Even John 3:16, embedded in John 3:16 is the word perish. Church won't talk about perishing. Every human being that was conceived of by a man has death within him, eternal death within him, unless they're converted to Jesus Christ. I don't know. Does the church even believe that anymore? I don't know what the church believes anymore. But I'm going to tell you this. We have to, instead of reducing the gospel to something that's acceptable to the Antichrist, which is what we've done, let's be honest. We've reduced the gospel of Jesus Christ that doesn't offend the Antichrist, thinking that somehow we'll save a couple souls. And the net result is America in 2022, where evil is good and good is evil. And you got government agencies out there promoting homosexual month, promoting a death cult, and calling it good. Why? Because the church has said, well, we're going to just back off and back off and back off. The church has been cowed. So what's the antidote for this? We're going to have to get back in the Word of God. That's a start. How about reading the Psalms? How about reading the precatory Psalms? How about praying them with your church against your government leaders that are in rebellion against Jesus Christ? Look, there's only two forms of government. One is a government under Jesus Christ, and one is the other is a government under Satan. I don't know if the church believes in Satan anymore. Does the church believe in Satan? That's one character that's been around since the very beginning, around since the book of Genesis, around since Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2. Satan shows up. Serpent shows up. Does the church believe that? Does the church believe the first 11 chapters of Genesis? I don't know. I don't know anymore. And, you know, I've attended sermons for half a century, if not more. 10 steps to a better prayer life. 3 steps to stop sinning. 14 steps to having a good family life. You know, how to overcome, you know, smoking cigarettes or whatever it is. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, but it's become a morality cult at best. Oh, you know, you can't sin. Jesus Christ was accounted with the sinners, man. Have you ever read it? I'm not saying he sinned. He never sinned. But go look at him. He hung out with the Pharisees, with the tax gatherers, not the Pharisees. He didn't like those guys. A couple of them did convert, though. Call him a drunkard. Called him a guy that ate too much and drank too much. And yet they called John the Baptist demon-possessed because he didn't drink. Couldn't get it right either way between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. John the Baptist is very important. And the net result of whatever it is we've done, whatever, I'm just going to, here's how I'm going to lay this out. The Bible says, you know a tree by the fruit. What's the fruit of the church in America? It's American culture in 2022. The fruit of the church is American culture in 2022, European culture. I don't know what's going on down there in Australia or Canada, but doesn't seem to me it's much better. We've reduced and reduced and we've reduced the gospel of Jesus Christ so as to not to offend the seed of the serpent. Let's bow down and worship them. And let's call an antichrist people Christ people. If you reject the Son, you reject the Father. Does the church believe that anymore? Does the church believe that anymore? I don't know. If you reject the Son, you reject the Father. God's people are those who have embraced Jesus Christ, confessed Jesus Christ, are baptized into Jesus Christ, declare Jesus Christ as literally the Son of God, as the anointed one, as the Messiah. If you reject Jesus Christ as that, you're not God's chosen people. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. You're not God's chosen people. And this isn't new theology. This, go read Jesus Christ. Go read the Gospel according to St. John. It's said that the closest disciple to Jesus Christ was John. There's Peter, James, and John. It is said that Jesus Christ was closest to John. I don't know if that's true or not, but certainly he was one of the top three, Peter, James, and John. No question about that, especially Peter and James. Excuse me, Peter and John. You want to get close to the heart of Jesus Christ? Go read what John wrote. The Gospel of John, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, and the Revelation. And read the kind of relationship that Jesus Christ had with the people that rejected him. Wasn't a good relationship. I'm just saying, you can read it for yourself. You don't need to take my word for it. This isn't new theology. I'm convinced that the church is afraid. I'm convinced that the church is ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. And I'm convinced that the Antichrist rules in the midst of us and the great falling away has already happened. It's already happened. Began 2-3 centuries ago with the rise of atheism in the heart of Christendom. And we wander around looking for something that's coming. And like, the battle's on. The battle's on. The battle's on. How do you fight this battle? You open up your mouth and you preach the word of God, the full word of God. Praise him in precatory psalms. Well, I'm not a racist. We're not a racist church. I'm not homophobic. We're not homophobic. We're not transphobic. We're not Islamophobic. We love them. We're not anti-Semitic. We're not intolerant or divisive. So the church dances around, tries to prove that they're obeying Satan's Ten Commandments. This is just what I see. Take it or leave it. This is what I see. And you got the Word of God, you got the Holy Scriptures, and people run from it. They're afraid of it. Lock Jesus in a closet. Here comes Jesus again. Lock him in a closet. He's going to offend people. I don't know. Tell me I'm wrong. Somebody write to me. Tell me I'm wrong. And we've reduced and reduced and reduced Jesus Christ to meaninglessness. And the proof of that is the condition of our culture. The fruit of the church is the culture that they're in. Now, it may take centuries. I got it. But we haven't been on a good trend for the last three centuries, church. Europe used to be called Christendom. It's not called that anymore. Europe was Christendom. Christendom was Europe. It's not called that anymore. Why? Church failed. Antichrist rose up. And okay, I'll grant you this. Bible does say that he will prevail against the saints. But he doesn't need our help. Antichrist doesn't need our help. He doesn't need our help to be quiet and not say anything. Our job is to stand up and be a witness. Like Abel was. Like Abel was a witness, and he was a testimony to Jesus Christ. And yeah, he was murdered. And he was the first martyr. Like Stephen, he stood up and said the truth. Now, you go up and you say what Stephen said, and you say that today, why, you're going to get banned from YouTube. I did. YouTube took down all my videos. Why? Look, you can say what you want, read what you want. Jesus Christ was an offensive man. Well, I don't believe he was offensive. He touched babies and loved babies. The disciples of Jesus Christ, the 12 disciples, thought he was an offensive man. He said, Jesus, don't you know you're offending them? You're offending the Pharisees. You're offending them. Move along. If that's your Christianity, that's the leaven of the Pharisees. All right. Look, we got a great future. The church has a great future, but we're going to have to step into it. Once upon a time, thousands of years ago, there was the people of God that came out of slavery. It's hard to come out of slavery. They didn't want to come out of slavery. There's a reason this is in the Holy Scriptures. They said, you know what? Yeah, things suck, but you know what? We shouldn't listen to this Moses guy because he's just making things worse to us. He's got a message of freedom. He's got a message of a Christian nation. Let's go out and be our own nation. We'll take this land. And all he's done is made it harder for us. And they were mad at him. They were mad at Moses. And things got worse and worse and worse and worse for the Hebrews until finally Pharaoh said, let him go. Got worse for Pharaoh too. $50 we're in that time right now, folks. $50 we're on that time right now. It's getting worse for us. It's getting worse for the kingdoms of the world. We're in a dire moment historically, my opinion. And they got new terms coming up. You've heard, sexist, homophobic, transphobic. Here's another one. Here's the latest one. Christo-fascist. You've heard that, right? Christo-fascism. And the church is scared. We're scared of being called names. Oh, don't call me that. I'm not this. Because they trot all the reasons why they're obeying the devil's Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ made it very clear. Look, they called me Beelzebul. What do you think they're going to call you guys? Don't be afraid of that. Don't cow before that. Well, they're not calling me Beelzebul. No, they call you Hitler. They call you Christo-fascist. They call you homophobic and transphobic and misogynist and sexist. It's the same thing. It's the equivalent of that today in 2022. And I've told you this before. I had a whole podcast on it. I've told you this before, that all these terms are used to accuse, to control, and ultimately to accuse the Almighty God. Ultimately to accuse Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ticks every one of these boxes. Every one of them. Transphobic, homophobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 50 times. Oh, but Jesus was a Jew. Well, I guess he was an anti-Semitic Jew, if that's your position. I mean, he was very clear about the guilt of those who murdered him and who it was that did it. Well, you can't say that. You can't say that. Yeah, well, Jesus Christ did, and I'll say what he said. So they set you up and accuse you of Satan's sins, and you bow down and try to make sure you don't break Satan's sins. And by doing that, you abandon the Word of God. You abandon the testimony of Jesus Christ. You abandon the words of Jesus Christ. And the salt becomes flavorless, good for nothing to be cast out and trampled under the feet of men, which is the condition of the church in America in 2022. Canada, Australia, New Zealand, I'll include you on there too. It's become a morality cult. Oh, we just want to be good little Christians and be docile and submissive and obey and not offend the Antichrist. That's become the equivalent of Christian morality today. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I look at a man like David. I look at a man like David. There's nothing good or right or Christian about that man compared to today's morality, Christian morality. The dude slew his tens of thousands, killed a lot of dudes, man, killed a lot of dudes. Had himself a lot of women, a lot of them. Had his own harem. Holy Scriptures say that's a man after my own heart. And the Messiah is known as the Son of David. He's known as the Son of David. You want to know who the morality queens are? They're the Pharisees. Pharisees had great morality. They had great morality. They didn't lie, cheat, steal, commit adultery. They had perfect morality. Jesus Christ hated them. Jesus Christ hated them. And they hated Jesus Christ. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. We have a glorious future under our monarch, Jesus Christ. But we got to step into it. We got to step into it. We're going to build Christian nations. Why? That's the Great Commission. All right, that's it for now. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Out.